A reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it by the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people, my kindred according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption of the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from them, according to the flesh, comes the Messiah, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Now, when Jesus heard about the execution of John the Baptist, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." The disciples replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds, and all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, as you can tell, I'm not a happy wanderer like Derwin. I maintain a manuscript. I didn't learn that way yet, so I suppose I won't. For the past several Sundays, our gospel readings have been focused on Jesus' parables, as recorded in Matthew's gospel. First, there was the parable of the sower, then the parable of the weeds and the wheat, and last week, a whole panoply of parables, the mustard seed, the yeast, the pearl. Jesus used these parables to teach his followers about his vision of the kingdom of God. He begins each parable by saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like," and then proceeds to spin a short, simple tale filled with memorable characters and striking action. At least these tales seem short and simple on the surface, but they hold hidden depths of meaning. That's the way metaphors work. They reveal hidden truths by extending what we know. A woman breaking bread, for example, into something we don't know yet. They expand our understanding by using the known to show us the unknown. Jesus was a master at this style, and parables make up approximately a third of his teaching. Parabolic teaching is as cognate and powerful today as it was in the first century. We still use metaphors and similes on a daily basis, to explain the world, to enliven our speech, and to help us grow in learning from what we know into what we don't know. But in today's gospel, we turn from parable to miracle with Matthew's version of the feeding of the 5,000. Miracles, for better or for worse, are much less convincing to the modern mind than parables are. On this side of the Enlightenment, we know that people can't walk on water, except in Calgary in the winter. Water doesn't certainly or suddenly turn into wine. We know that, and that 5 loaves of bread will never, never be enough to feed 5,000 people. Yes, sometimes these stories seem childish at best, foolish at worst, mere wish fulfillment, disconnected from reality, a ploy to entrance and manipulate the gullible. Still, miracle stories were common in the ancient world, within Christianity and beyond. Telling and retelling stories of Jesus' miracles was an important way that Jesus' early fellowship, his followers, remembered and honored him, and how they tried to share his good news with others. In the story we heard today, the story of Jesus feeding the multitudes, was perhaps the most important miracle of all. It's the only miracle, did you know, in all of the Gospels. Matthew and Mark like the story so much, in fact, that they tell it twice with slight variations. In one version, Jesus feeds 5,000 people, and in the other, 4,000. That means the story is told 6 times in the Gospels. And there are only 4 Gospels. Perhaps there's more going on in this story than an entertaining fairy tale. Each version presents the same dilemma. Crowds have followed Jesus out to a deserted place to hear him teach. When evening comes, it becomes clear that people haven't come prepared. There's not enough food. The disciples only have a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish. And the people are hungry. The disciples don't know what to do. In some versions, as in Matthew, they suggest that Jesus should send the people away. To fend for themselves. Go to the villages. In some versions, again in Matthew's today, Jesus turns to his disciples and tells them, you give them something to eat. You give them something to eat is the heart of this miracle. Jesus is saying the same words to Richard and to each one of you today, just as clearly as he said them to disciples on the deserted shores on the far side of the Sea of Galilee, all those centuries ago. There's a hungry world out there. Yeah, out there. And it is our responsibility and our duty to feed them. This hunger is both spiritual and physical. And although it may look like there's not enough bread to go around, the miracle recounted today teaches us that, in fact, if we open our eyes, we will see that there is enough. That God has already provided enough bread to feed every last person on the face of the earth. It just depends on how you divide it up. Biblical scholar John Dominic Crossan argues in his book, The Power of Parable, that the miracle stories in the Gospels are really parables in disguise. Miracles are parables told about Jesus and should be understood in similar ways and taken as seriously as the parables of Jesus. The miracle we heard today may seem simple on the surface. Jesus is able to magically multiply bread and fish. But push a little deeper, and it's really a parable about how we see the world, and is there enough to go around or not? What does it mean to share this world God has given us? What kind of people are we going to be? Those who share or those who hoard? Both Matthew and Mark drive home this point by providing a prelude to the miracle story. In both Gospels, the feeding of the 5,000 is directly preceded by the story of Herod beheading John the Baptist. The connection between these two stories might not be immediately clear, but here's how Mark and Matthew tell it. John has been in prison for some time for accusing Herod of adultery with Herodias, his brother's wife. Herod throws a feast for his birthday, inviting his rich and powerful friends, and Herodias' daughter dances before Herod at the feast, which pleases him. And he tells her she can have whatever she wants in return. She asked, guided by her mother, for John the Baptist's head on a platter. And Herod obliges her. Herod's feast is exclusive, a private gala for the rich and the powerful, and leads to death. Jesus' feast is inclusive, a community picnic for the poor and the oppressed, and leads to life. Which party would you like to attend? As often as we take the Eucharist, we reenact Jesus' picnic on the lakeshore. Just like on that day, Jesus takes our bread, blesses it, breaks it, and shares it with all who are hungry. And he is calling us to do the same with our lives. Take the blessing God has given. Break them open and share them with others. Jesus is calling richer than each of you today. Come to the party where no one goes hungry, where there is bread and joy and life for all. Amen.